This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Utopia Media Voting News. We're about to talk to Bruce Schneier, who is the founder and head of a company called Counterpain, and he's also a security expert who's interested in electronic voting. Welcome to Utopia Media Voting News.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Now, it came to my attention today during a conversation about something else with someone in Washington that the state of Missouri is using the Internet for voting, and I'm wondering if you could tell us what you know about this project and how you feel about it.
Well, it's just a very specific voting application. They are giving internet email options for overseas military who want to vote in Missouri.
Okay.
So it's only for the military who are overseas. It's not for civilians overseas. It's not for people in the U.S.
I understand it's also for North Dakota.
I believe other states are doing this also. The way it works is the overseas military serviceman gets an absentee ballot in the normal means, and he fills it out, and normally he can mail it in, or he can fax it in. What this system does, it gives him another option. He can scan it using a computer scanner, and then it would be emailed as an attachment to the DOD, and they, in turn, will print it out and fax it to the precinct in Missouri. So once this system is in place, you could certainly imagine other states doing it, too. And you said South Dakota did it.
North Dakota, yeah.
I'm sorry, North Dakota. But, you know, certainly reasonable, because once you put that infrastructure in place, the DOD could just as easily fax the incoming email ballots to other states as well.
Right. Now, the logic behind it, apparently, is that in some cases, it may be easier to find a scanner and an internet connection than it is to find a fax machine. Is that the idea?
I don't know the logic behind it. To me, it's much harder to do it that way.
Right.
It's certainly easier to mail it.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, there are a couple of things going on. It's only being offered to the military and not to civilians. That doesn't make much sense. And it does seem to be a more complicated option than simply faxing the ballot directly to the precinct in Missouri, which you would do normally.
Okay. Now, you are a security expert. What do you say about the security of this system?
Well, my first complaint is the loss of a secret ballot. And the DOD has stated that the serviceman who uses this option gives up the right to a secret ballot.
Is that an inalienable right or an alienable right?
Well, it's certainly fundamental to democracy. Democracy does not work if you can be coerced by your boss or your superior officer. When you walk into a ballot box and you vote, it is vitally important that nobody sees how you vote. Voter coercion is against everything democracy stands for.
Now, is it worse with this hybrid system than it would be or is with a straight faxing system?
Well, sure, of course, because, well, first of all, the system says if you do this, you lose the right to a secret ballot. So whoever is doing the emailing will see your ballot. You don't email the ballot. Give it to some officer who will email it. When that ballot is received at the DOD offices in Washington, they will see your ballot.
Now you mean
they can't not.
You mean the voter isn't scanning it? The voter hands the open ballot to another officer who then in bulk presumably scans them all,
right,
and sends them all to the Pentagon or something.
Right. And now normally what happens when scans are received at precincts,
right,
is there are election judges, people from both parties,
right,
who together make sure there's no fraud.
Right.
In this system, so we lose the secret ballot. And especially in the military, there is significant potential for voter coercion.
Well,
what happens if you don't vote the way your commanding officer wants you to?
Because the commanding officer will know how everyone under his or her command voted.
They'll know for only the people who use this system.
Right.
If someone mails in their ballot, it's still secret.
Right.
If someone faxes their ballot, it's still secret.
Now, the
other problem is in the center. What happens when those faxes are received? There's no guarantee that whoever's receiving them will behave properly.
Well, you're talking about the Pentagon and the intermediary step.
Right.
Well, I interviewed the spokesperson on this issue at the Pentagon today, and her interview is going to be right above yours here. And she said that they get there's a cover sheet, and that the operators here see the cover sheet and learn everything they need to know about routing it to the proper precinct, and they need not look at the second or subsequent pages of the file to see what the content of the voting is. Is that plausible to you?
That's plausible. That's excellent, assuming they follow procedure. I mean, I think that's a great idea. I want somebody there making making sure they do that.
Now, is this
that's a good idea? But these systems, you don't ask how they work. You ask how they fail. How do we know that the people receiving the fax, receiving the email, will do that?
Right.
I like that, but I want assurances that they'll follow through.
And that would require some sort of audit or some sort of presence of bipartisan or multipartisan judges at the Pentagon as well as in the precincts.
Right, right. And the way we do it in the precinct is you have judges from each party. And if someone comes in who's disabled and can't pull the levers, he goes into the ballot box with somebody from each party. And what those people do is they keep each other honest.
Someone's blind. Essentially, this is the same way that, I don't know if they still do it, in the old days in the Congress, there would be one Republican and one Democrat on either side of an aisle, and then the voters, the members would walk through there, and they'd be counted by both the Democrats and the Republicans.
Exactly.
And they'd be able to compare. It's the same principle.
We're getting security from the ability of both parties to audit each other. We lose that in this system, that's scary.
Okay, speaking of auditing, and we don't want to go into it, it's not the main subject of this interview, but just in as it relates to this, if it does, you're involved, I assume, in the controversy about touchscreen voting and the need for paper audit trails. How do the lessons learned, either technical or political, from that effort reflect on this particular issue?
Well, there's a couple things we learn. We learn that simplicity is better, that the more simple you can make a system, the more reliable and the more secure it is, the more steps you can take out. Right? Faxing the ballot to the precinct isn't great, but it's better than emailing the ballot to a third party who then faxes it to the precinct.
In fact, you're almost getting into a Rube Goldberg situation where you fax it and then they scan it and then the mouse carries it across the room and it falls into the...
And each one of those steps will have some sort of failure mode attached to it.
So
it might not be great, but as you pile on steps, you pile on failure.
Okay. And how about the political side, about whether this ought to be done or not?
Well, politically, unfortunately, these days, every action is being done for partisan reasons. You know, whether it's deciding not to accept registrations in Ohio not printed on the right paper.
In fact, the man who did this is the Secretary of State Blunt is running for governor of Missouri.
Right. So if you think about it, what this is a way to artificially increase votes from the military, which are perceived to be Republican. Now my guess is they're not. I mean, everything I'm reading says that the military officers are voting Republican, but the enlisted are much more balanced. I mean, they don't like the fact that they're being deployed way past their tours.
Right.
So, you know, while this is probably being done as a political maneuver, I'm not convinced that it's not going to backfire.
So the more telling objections to this ought to be technical and procedural rather than on the basis that one party or another is going to get an unfair advantage.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we have to preserve the right to vote, that people should be able to vote. They should be able to vote secretly, and they should be able to vote reliably. And voting problems affect both parties. It's not a partisan issue. It's a very fundamental issue.
Okay.
One other thing that I think is very important. At the end of this election, both sides, the winner and the loser, have to believe the election was fair.
Right.
We cannot repeat 2000 where people believe the election was stolen. I think our country really needs to heal, and we need to regain faith in the democratic process.
In fact, what you're saying, if I can put it in mathematical terms, it wouldn't really even be wouldn't be just additive if there were equal or worse problems in the 2004 election.
It would be multiplicative.
Or exponential.
And even worse, it's not a question of whether there is fraud. We have to avoid the appearance of fraud. Okay. Because if one side says, hey, I think there was fraud, even if there wasn't, we have a problem.
So what would you recommend be done with the Missouri system?
I think we should keep it the way it is, where absentees will mail in their ballot or fax in their ballot as the state demands. I think the same rules should apply to everybody. Having special rules for the military doesn't make sense. That will be perceived as unfair.
So given that we're 2.5 weeks from the election, would you recommend or even maybe join in in legal action to stop this program?
I've not joined in the legal action because I have no standing in Missouri.
Right.
I have recommended that this be scrapped.
Okay.
I think it's putting something in place this close to the election without the proper analysis is too scary.
Okay. What's interesting about it is because the struggle for internet voting has been going on for 10 years, and it hasn't yielded any internet voting in presidential elections yet.
Which is a good thing.
Well, I want to get to that in a second. But then here, someone sort of preemptorily just says, okay, we're going to use the internet for voting like this. And one thing we haven't mentioned at all is the argument that were raised, that were the essential arguments, I think, in the argument made against the CERV voting program in the military, was that the internet itself is so insecure that using it for any kind of voting is premature at best and
right.
impossible at worst.
And a counter argument which you really need to refute is that people say, hey, we use the internet for multi-million dollar financial transactions.
Right.
Why can't we vote?
Right.
And here's the reason. We secure financial networks through auditing. We secure them through the fact that after a fraud happens, we can unravel things. We can unwind the transactions. We can make everything right again. Voting, because it's anonymous, fundamentally cannot be audited in the same way the electronic transfer can, and it cannot be unwound. It's harder to get right because the requirements are more exacting. And that's why you can do things like electronic commerce on the internet, and you can't do voting.
Are you aware of the election that was held about a week ago in Geneva, Switzerland, with a company called WiseKey and Hewlett-Packard that purports to be a secure full of integrity internet election?
I did read about it, and I'm getting information so I can learn about it. And, you know, when they say it's secure and reliable,
right.
What they're saying is we don't know anybody who broke it yet.
Right.
And be very careful what the claims are.
Okay.
They can't claim that it's secure. If they are, this is the first application in the history of mankind that is secure.
Well,
it's possible,
right.
But it's not the way to bet. More likely is that nobody hacked it.
Well, in fact, they issued a press release, this WiseKey company, naming by name Avi Rubin, who was one of the four people who managed to scuttle whose report helped the Pentagon decide to scuttle the CERV program, saying, you know, it may be true that the plan that CERV had, that the Pentagon and so on, wouldn't have worked, but we've solved those problems because we're great encryption people and identity control and protection people, and so that's the problem. And they're sort of going back and forth on that.
Okay. Well, then when I look at it, I'll have an opinion.
Okay.
Be very careful. You know, manufacturers' claims are not considered scientific evidence.
Okay. I'm going to be focusing in on that for some more reports soon. So if we could get back to you and have you weigh in on what they have to say. In the meantime, I want to thank you very much for talking to us, and we'll be in touch again later.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.